Blog Talk Radio.
Processing the Pain with yours truly, Coach D. I want to welcome you in the studio on tonight. Thank you for joining us. I apologize for last week. We were having some technical difficulties with our studio host, which is Blog Talk Radio. And so I believe they got all of that fixed on this week. So I'm excited to be back. I am going to make an attempt. So I want to ask that each and every one of you that are listening in to tonight's show that you will bear with me. I'm going to make an attempt to play last week's recording. And the reason why I want to play the recording is because I continue to record this show as normal. I went for it. It allowed me to record. It allowed me to bring forth the message. And so I want to be able to share that with you. I believe that it was an anointed message from God. For whatever reason, the forces that be did not want anyone to hear that message, but it was an awesome message, and it was dealing with contaminated by compromised compassion. And so I'm going to attempt again on tonight to play that. Now, I don't have the ability to take out some of the hiccups, and in the very beginning, you know, it was some hiccups. The song played, the theme song played. I spoke. It went out, and then it came back in. So if you could just get through the first 5 or 10 minutes, then the rest of it, I promise you, it will bless you. So we're going to attempt this, if you'll hang in there.
Blog Talk Radio.
allow us to do that. So I'm just going to go forth and bring forth the message from last week. First of all, what I want to share with those of you that are listening in on tonight, some of you have been following Processing the Pain for the last 5 or 6 years, and some of you may be recent followers of Processing the Pain. And I just want to share with you that Processing the Pain or MCD Network was never intended on being a church. I've never claimed to be a pastor. I believe that I am an ordained licensed minister, but I believe that this platform was given to me by God. So it doesn't even belong to me. It belongs to God. But I believe he allowed me the ability to have a platform where I would be able to share my journey. What is your journey, Coach D? My journey on this this journey of life. And I have the ability to share my processes, whether I'm processing through pain, whether I'm being corrected, whether I'm being rebuked, whether I'm being encouraged, the different things that I go through, all of us go through in life. A lot of times when we're going through things in life, we believe that we are the only one. We feel so alone, like I'm the only person going through this. And I believe this platform was brought about and inspired by God to let you know that you're not alone, that you're not the only one that's going through, that this journey, that this walk is hard, it's work, and that it's not always pleasing to the flesh. It's not going to be pleasing to the flesh, amen? And so this platform is just to let you know you're not alone, that there are others that's going through, that there's others that's been through. You know, we all have been through or we're going through, and if you haven't been through or going through, it's coming. And so, again, that's what this platform is about. It's not to tell you that I've arrived. It's not to tell you that Coach D is perfect. It's not to tell you that that you know, it's not to criticize or judge what you're going through, but I believe that it's supposed to be to encourage you, to help you, to have compassion for others who are going through like things. And so just want to share that because people have a tendency, it's always going to be those on the outside looking in, and they have a tendency to want to put labels, you know. They want to put labels. They want to either label you as you're a church or you're this or you're that. And I don't want those labels. I don't want those labels. I want to be so transparent when God allows me to be transparent about the things that I go through in my life. And my whole hope is that it become a blessing to you. Because, again, if anyone is not aware, I built this foundation on Revelations 12:11, and Revelations 12:11 tells us this, and I'm paraphrasing because it says they overcame him. Who's the in this case? Who's the him? It's the forces that be. It's the enemy, but they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, and the blood of the Lamb is who? It's our Savior. It's Jesus Christ, and so because of the blood that he shed on Calvary. We overcame. He already won. We already know the end of the story. He already won the battle. He went down and took the keys, you know. And so we got the victory already. So they overcame him, the enemy, forces that be. These obstacles and things that we're going through, that we go through, the trials and the tribulations, we've already overcame it by Jesus, the blood of the Lamb, and by the words of our testimony. It's important to share our testimonies. It's important for us to make people aware of what God is doing and has done in our lives. And when we're going through, because we will go through. See, the Bible never told us that it wasn't going to be trials and tribulations. You know, he told us to count it all joy. You know, so he's not telling us that it's not going to be difficult, but he's telling us that he's given us the tools and the resources to get through those difficult times, to be overcomers, that we already got the victory. Amen. And so it says that by the words of our testimony, the victory also comes in us sharing, speaking, giving our testimonies of the goodness of God. When he's brought you through, and he's brought, I don't know about you, but he's brought me through time after time after time after time. I have so many testimonies. Sometimes I have to figure out which one I want to share, because if I was to sit down and begin to share every single testimony, it would take almost a lifetime of me sharing just on day-to-day things. See, we want to think of testimonies as those major things, like he healed you from some kind of disease or sickness, or, you know, the major. But, man, I have testimonies daily. I could testify to waking up this morning in good health, in good spirits, in my right mind. I could testify to that. I could testify to sometimes just being able to know that I could open up my refrigerator and there's food in there for me. So there's so much we could testify to. So by the word, so they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the words of their testimony, and they didn't love themselves even unto death. What does that mean to me? You may get another revelation, but what that means that they didn't love themselves even unto death is that we cannot be so flesh consumed that we are not willing. We got to be willing to die daily. We have to be willing to die daily. And we can't love ourselves so much that everything is about us that we're not willing to die. And that's what we see in the earth today. And that's what we're going to kind of talk about. We're going to talk about being contaminated by compromised compassion. You know, Jesus had compassion. The Bible speaks about that's an emotion that Jesus showed. He showed the emotion of compassion. Every time somebody came on, Jesus came on the scene and he seen somebody in sickness, you know, seen somebody that had, you know, that was going through something. It was his compassion that healed them, you know. And so, but we could see how we could be so contaminated and, you know, and compromise our compassion towards people. And so, again, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the words of their testimony, and they did not love themselves even unto death. In other words, be willing to die to yourself. Be willing to share what you've been through, you know, to be able. And that's right now, I think what we're seeing is that everybody is, you know, everybody has a story to tell. Everybody has trials and tribulations. Everybody's going through something. And we got two, it's almost like we got two lines. On this side of the fence, we got the people who telling everybody what they're going through. But then as soon as they start telling everybody what they're going through, then you got the people, you got the holy holies on the other side of the fence that want to criticize them, that want to talk down to them, that want to say, I thought they was Christians. I thought they were believers. And God is not pleased with that, because it's not I thought anything. He didn't pay us to think nothing. Because your walk, say your my walk is personal. My walk is vertical. It's not horizontal. It's vertical. It's about me and God. God in me, should I say. It's about God in me. And it's vertical. I got to work out my own salvation with fear and trembling. I have to work that through. And you have to work out your own. It doesn't matter what people see or what they think or how they call it. That's not important. What's important is that you have an intimate, personal relationship with God, that you be true to your conviction, that you know how to go before the throne of grace, that you know how to immediately repent when you see you out of order. That's what's important. This is between you and God. Because what God is saying to you is what God is saying to you. What God says to me is what God is saying to me. Yes, his laws don't change. The principles don't change. But it's just like a parent. You can have five children, and each one of those children, you know them. You know their name. You know their personality. You knew them. You even knew them when they were in your womb. You know, you had a personal relationship with each one of your children. So your rule is everybody has to be in the house at 10 o'clock. Where are you going, Coach D? Everybody has to be in the house at 10 o'clock. That's the rules of your house. Amen? But you can have three of your kids that break that rule, and you may deal with each of them differently because of their individual personalities. Some of them, you know that no matter how much you sit down and talk to them, they may not listen. You may have to punish them in a different way. You deal with them individually. Some you may extend more grace than you do others. Why? Because one child, this may be their first offense. They've never done this before. And maybe they had a logical explanation as to why they didn't come in at 10. Well, the siblings don't see that. All they see is that they didn't come in at 10. So if they didn't come in at 10, everybody should be punished the same. But that's not necessarily the truth, because maybe one of them didn't come in at 10 because they ran out of gas, or maybe their tire got flat, or maybe they got an accident. There may have been some other reason of why they didn't make it in at 10. So they're not going to be dealt with the same way as the person that didn't make it in at 10 because they just didn't want to come in at 10. Amen? And that's the same way I believe that God works. I believe he deals with each one of us accordingly. And this is individually about how we deal with disobedience, how we're disobedient, or how we don't follow what he tells us to do. He deals with us individually. And so when we see somebody that's doing something and we automatically want to put a punishment on them, or we automatically want to crucify them, we better be careful, because we don't know what God is dealing with them on. We don't know how God is using the situation. We don't know all the integral details of what they're going through, or what they've been through, or why they're doing what they do. But God does. Amen? Amen. So what we're going to be doing on today, I'm going to take us to Luke, and I'm going to start there to set the foundation of tonight's call. And I still would encourage you all after tonight's show. I'm not going to keep the show long tonight at all, because I really want you all to hear, and you're going to hear some of it on tonight. But man, I tell you, last Thursday there was an anointing. That word that came forth was an anointed word, and it blessed me. And I really, truly believe that it would bless you too. And so I'm going to be sharing some of the stuff I shared on Thursday. You know, when you're under the anointing, when you're under the Holy Spirit, you don't know which direction the Holy Spirit is going to go. So I don't believe that I could duplicate last night's show. I wanted to try to get each one of you to listen to it. I was going to bring it on as a recording, but I don't believe that I can do that. And now I am also in, I am traveling. So I want to say that up front. I love to operate in a spirit of excellence. I love to make sure that I am in a place of quiet and peacefulness. And unfortunately, sometimes when you're traveling and it's beyond your control, you can't control your environment. I'm going to try to control my environment. Hopefully, it's not too many background noise distractions, but we're going to move forward. I'm going to move forward because I was committed to being on this show tonight. At first, I was going to cancel it and push it back to next week, but I want to be committed. I want to be faithful, and I wanted to make sure that my listening audience did not get on yet another show after we had the technical difficulty last week, get on another show only to be told that, hey, we're pushing it back a week. So here we go. We're going to go to Luke chapter 10, and we're going to go to verses 30 through 35. Luke chapter 10, verses 30 through 35. And I'm going to be reading this out of the Message. Now, you can follow along in NIV. I like the Message Bible because it's just in layman terms. And it just kind of breaks stuff down. And so, again, King James is my translation of choice because I think it's the least diluted. But of course, always go back and read for yourself. But I'm going to do it out of the Message Bible so that it could just be in layman terms. Jesus answered by telling a story. There was once a man traveling from Jerusalem to Jericho. On the way, he was attacked by robbers. They took his clothes, beat him up, and went off, leaving him half dead. Luckily, a priest was on his way down the same road. But when he saw him, he angled across to the other side. Then a Levite, religious man, showed up. He also avoided the injured man. A Samaritan traveling the road came on him. When he saw the man's condition, his heart went out to him. He gave him first aid, disinfecting and band-aiding his wound. Then he lifted him up onto his donkey, led him to an inn, and made him comfortable. In the morning, he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper, saying, "Take good care of him. If it costs any more, put it on my bill. I'll pay you on my way back." Father God, we just thank you for tonight's word. Lord, we thank you that this will be a rhema word, that it will be a word that will penetrate our very souls, Lord. Father God, I pray that after tonight, that, Lord, we would take a look at our compassion for others, Lord. Father God, that we would want to be a blessing to others as you have blessed us. And Father God, that we would continue to move in a way that is pleasing and represents you. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. So as we see here in the story of Luke, now, first of all, you got to understand something. If you're not familiar with the word, if you're not familiar with the time, the priest, you know, we know what a priest is, you know, same as priests are today. They're generally men of God. They're men of cloth. You know, they wear the cloth, and you would think that they would have compassion. They're preaching or they're teaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And in this day, let me say this, in this day, the priest really was the Jewish law. So you have the priest that came by. We see that the priest crossed the street. He didn't want to deal with the guy who got beat up. He didn't have compassion to make sure that this guy was okay. And then we have the Levite, another religion. These are religious leaders, religious folks that's supposed to know, folks that's, you know, that's high up on the pole, so to say. So these are people that's supposed to know better. They're supposed to be closer to God than most. Amen. But we see with them, they just pass the man by. Nobody wanted to deal with the man. And then you have the Samaritan. And the Samaritan back in those days, the Samaritan was the sinner. They were the cast out. You know, they were looked down upon. You know, people didn't want to deal with a Samaritan. You didn't want to deal with a Samaritan. You didn't want to get a bad reputation from dealing with a Samaritan. And so, you know, we've heard various stories through the Bible, and, you know, take heed, because there's quite a bit of stories in the Bible that talk about the Good Samaritan, that talk about Samaritans. You know, even I believe the woman at the well was believed to be a Samaritan woman. You know, she said, you know, if you remember when Jesus was at the well, she didn't know who he was, but she was saying, "Hey, why would you want water from me, a Samaritan?" You know, so as we see right here, Samaritans weren't good people. I guess the Samaritans, I don't know. I kind of think of the Samaritans as being, what would we call a Samaritan these days? You know, in this day and age, what would we call a Samaritan? You know, I grew up in the city of Compton. And so, you know, people, when you hear people say Compton, you hear a lot of people say, "Whoa," you know, like, "Whoa. Can anything good come out of Compton?" I'm sure in New York they have, you know, you got Harlem. Can anything good? Every city has its areas that people question that. And I just often wonder if they say, well, this type of person or this person this area has a reputation. So this was the Samaritan. However, check this out in Luke. He tells us that this Samaritan was traveling. And the Samaritan, when he saw the man's condition, he had compassion. Compassion said his heart went out. That means he had compassion for this man. He seen this man had been robbed. He had been beaten. He was broken down. And he didn't have the heart to turn a blind eye. He didn't have a heart to walk away and leave the man in despair. But instead, he opened up his heart. He followed his emotion of compassion, and he went to help this man. He not only bandaged his wounds and took care of that. He didn't just do that, but he also took him and made sure he had a roof over his head. He took him to an inn, and he took care of him, and he made sure that he was okay. Even so much so that, hey, when I come back, if he used more than I left you, I'll make sure you're okay. So today what I'm saying to us, where is our compassion for people? Have we been so contaminated? Have we been so used and abused by the things of this life, by people who've taken advantage of us, by people who have stole from us, who lied to us? Have we been so used and abused by the world that our compassion's been compromised, been contaminated, that we can't operate in the godly way that we should operate? Last week, right before I did the show, I seen somebody ask a question. And when they asked this question, many people laughed because they thought it was, you know, funny. They thought it was a joke. But I really took and I listened to the question. And the question was, I wonder if Jesus was a Christian. I wonder if Jesus was a Christian. And that's not a joke. I didn't take that as a joke, because I seriously pondered that question. And I would have to say I don't believe that Jesus was a Christian, because when you read in the Word of God, you never hear the term Christian. It was the believers who were they were believers, they were followers. You would often hear them say, well, they follow Jesus, or they follow Paul, or whatever the case would be. I'm not sure that the term Christian, because and technically the definition of Christian in this day and age, based on the English language, the definition of Christian is Christ-like. It's to be Christ-like. So when you think about the definition of what it means, Christ-like, and then you ask yourself the question, was Jesus, you wonder if Jesus was a Christian, I think it's, you could kind of go from there. And I'm also wondering, that term Christian, I'm not taking nothing away. I am a believer of Jesus Christ. I believe he's the Son of God. I believe that he came, that he died, that he was buried, and he rose again for me. That's what I believe. That's what I'm a follower of. But I'm starting to think that this term Christian, because see, the word Christian has a really bad rep. It has a bad reputation, because what it means is not really what people are doing to be Christ-like. We see, you know, the term Christian just being thrown around loosely. You know, we hear people saying they're Christians, and then we see all the things that's going on with it, and we just got a bad rep. The term Christian has a bad rep. You know, people don't see the compassion, you know, the same compassion that Jesus had, and the same emotion that Jesus showed. People are not seeing that in the body, you know, amongst the Christians. We're not seeing, you know, we're seeing maybe a lot of criticizing. You know, we see maybe seeing the church criticizing people. We see them maybe, not being compassionate towards the people. But where is the Christ-like? Where are we being Christ-like? You know, where are we? You know, Jesus wasn't criticizing. If you could think about the woman who got caught doing adultery, she got caught in the act. She was guilty of sin. But yet, when they wanted to stone her to death, what did he say? He said, if anyone be without sin, cast the first stone. And nobody could cast a stone. They said, if I'm correct, the Word of God, not Coach D, but the Word says that everybody walked away. They turned to walk away because nobody could cast a stone. Why? Because nobody was without sin. So he had compassion, his grace. And we're supposed to be Christ-like. So we're supposed to be showing the same kind of compassion. We're supposed to be extending the same type of grace. We're supposed to extend the same type of mercy that he extended on us. And yet, we the church, we're not doing that. And as a result, As a result, we're seeing that we have empty churches. We have empty churches, and people are church hurt. People don't want to come to church. They don't want to come to church because they don't want to be condemned, and they don't want to be criticized, and they want, because when they come, they want to be loved. They want to be understood. They want to be prayed for with sincerity. They're looking for a way out of no way. They're looking for a way out of no way. And so if I have to come to church, if I have to come to church and all I'm going to do is get condemned, all I'm going to do is get talked about, there's no compassion, there's no grace, there's no mercy, why am I going to come to church? For what? For what? Why would I come? Because I could get cruelty in the street. I could get talked about in the street. You don't have to tell me what I'm not doing right. I already know what I'm not doing right. I already know that I'm failing. So what I need from you is compassion. I need the love. I need the compassion. I need the prayer. And see, now if you begin to build a relationship with me through showing me compassion and giving me grace and praying for me, guess what? Now we're building a relationship. So now I could trust you. Because if I believe that you love me, or if I believe you truly care about me, what am I going to do? I'm going to trust you. So now as I begin to trust you is now when you can begin to show me the errors of my way. And you don't have to even, you can show me that through the word. But if I can't trust you, you can't teach me nothing. You can't tell me nothing because I'm not going to listen because I don't trust you. Likewise, compassion. Before Jesus, when Jesus spoke on the mount, he fed those people. Why do you think that every time he gave a sermon, it always had food involved? You know, the loaves, the bread, and the fish. Because he knew, if I can't come in and meet the basic need, then how can I sit up and teach them? How can I sit up and preach to them? And that's, you know, a lot of times what we see we're doing. We want to preach at people. You need to do this, and you better do this, and you can't do this, and you're going to go to hell for doing this. But we don't want to meet the basic need. Where's the hurt? Because generally, hurt people hurt people. Generally, when you see wherever there's a spirit of addiction, there's pain. Wherever there's a spirit of addiction, there's pain. We got to deal with the pain first before we can be successful with the addiction. If people are hungry, how you going to go and minister Jesus to people that's hungry? You need to feed them. Feed them first. Because it's going to be hard for me to hear you when I'm starving. It's going to be hard for me to hear you telling me about this amazing God. And I don't know where I'm going to sleep tonight. I don't even know where I'm going to lay my head. But you're telling me about an amazing God. And God uses us to be, God is amazing. We know that he's amazing, that he's omnipotent. But he uses people like you and like me, believers. He uses us to be amazing for him. He works through us to be amazing. Acts of kindness. You never know when God used your smile or your gentle hello or your just something as simple as telling a woman that she's beautiful. Even if she doesn't feel beautiful, even if you don't think she's beautiful, but to speak the word that she's beautiful, do you know what that does for her? It gives her, it encourages her. And we're to be encouragers. as believers. We're to be encouragers. We're supposed to encourage our brothers and sisters, particularly those of the same faith. But I say this, yes, my brothers and sisters in Christ, I want to encourage them. I don't want to just constantly shoot them down. I want to be able to be an inspiration. But also those that's not believers. Because guess what? If I have a joyful attitude and I'm pleasant and I'm kind, see, kindness doesn't know a religion. It doesn't know a gender. It doesn't know a race. Kindness is just kindness. Compassion is just compassion. And even if somebody's not a believer in the same belief system that I'm in, my kind word, a gentle spirit, a great smile could cause that person to say, you know what? It's something about her. I want to find out what she's about. Because every time I see her, she's smiling. Every time I see him, he has a kind word. And that gives us an opportunity, and we don't see this, that gives us an opportunity to witness. That gives us an opportunity to witness. Oh, Holy Spirit, this is ministering even as I'm speaking. Because how often we go into the store and we just go into the store and get what we have to get. And life, we're dealing with life, you know, so we just got to dealing with something, you know. And so we already kind of irritated and we're frustrated because we're dealing with life. And we're dealing with all the trials and tribulations of life. And so we carry those burdens and we'll go in the store and we'll, you know, go in there and we're unconscious, you know, creatures of habit. We go in there, we get what we need to get, and we get to the checkout stand, and we may say hi to the person there, and we keep on pushing. But how many of us take the time to pay attention to people when you walk into a grocery store and just pay attention to the expressions on people's face? How many of us have taken the time just to say a kind word to someone? Just anything. Something that just would make their day. Have a blessed day. Wow, you have a beautiful smile. Something that would just change maybe what they're going through. How many of us stop to talk to the homeless person that's sitting outside the store? Or are we just so quick to get... Let me just hurry and get past them. I'm already struggling. You know, my money funny. I hope they don't ask me for nothing because I ain't got nothing to give them. I've heard people say, I don't give them panhandlers nothing. They out there, that's they hustle. I'm not saying they're right or wrong, but I've heard that. That lacks compassion. And you're right, that you do have some people out there that's their hustle. But when the Holy Spirit, for you to just say you won't do, you've already said that I'm not going to be obedient if the Holy Spirit moves. And if the Holy Spirit moves, regardless of what you think, if the Holy Spirit say, I want you to give to this person, then you have to be obedient to do that. No matter what you think, what opinion you form, but you need to be obedient to do that. Because once you do it, it doesn't matter what the person does with your money. Once you do it, you're obedient. And God blesses obedience. Now, their disobedience to do what they're supposed to do with it is between them and God. That has nothing to do with you. So if they take the money and go buy drugs, or they take the money and go buy alcohol, or whatever they do that they're not supposed to do with it, it's not our concern anymore. We just was obedient to do what God told us to do, just like they're going to have to be obedient to do what God tells them to do, or they're going to have to reap the consequences thereof. They have to reap the consequences thereof. It's totally up to them to be obedient and do what God has called them to do. I am going to You know, it's funny because compassion, it says, is best defined as pity or and or concern for the suffering or misfortune of others. And that word pity, I don't like. You know, this is what it's saying it is, but I don't like the word pity because people don't need pity. You know, they need compassion. And I know it defines compassion as being pity, but pity, I don't know, when I think about pity, I think about you looking down on somebody, you pitying somebody. And I think compassion, I like the word better, even though they may be the same. But it's, sometimes it's, they say, you know, it's not what you say, it's how you say it. And so when I think about the compassion as being the concern for the suffering or misfortune of others, and I think, you know, we should be concerned. We should be concerned with somebody that's suffering. How can we say that we are believers, that we're followers of Christ, that we're Christ-like? How can we say that and not be concerned with somebody suffering? With all throughout the Word of God, that's what Jesus did. He went from town to town, from hill to mountain. He went throughout the land. And guess what? He only did this in 3 years. Ooh, Jesus. His ministry, he had 3 years. 3 years. He got a lot accomplished in 3 years. And some of us been at this thing for 30 years. Some of us been in our ministry for 20, 30 years. What all have we got accomplished? Where has our compassion taken us? Has it helped those suffering? Has it been able to bless those that's less fortunate than we are? Where has our compassion taken us? Amen. So again, we see in the story that the Samaritan, the one least likely, the one that everybody, this was the least likely person to do something to help. And yet, everybody that was supposed to, the priest, the Levite, and I'm going to say in this day and age, you know, everybody want a title, the evangelist, the prophetess, the prophet, the apostle, the bishop, the minister. Everybody want a title. And yet, are we being like all the other titles? The priest, the Levite, title. Those were all titles back in those days that represented supposed to being godly. And yet, they passed the man by. So wouldn't you say, wouldn't you rather not have a title? I would rather just be Denise. Not Evangelist Denise, not Minister Denise, not even Coach D. I would rather just be Denise. And show compassion. Be able to help the next person that's going through. We lack in compassion. And it's showing. Let's talk about statistically. I'm not going to even talk about spiritually. Let's talk about statistically. We have one of the highest suicide rates that we've ever had in history. I'm talking about here in the U.S. Don't even know what's going on in other countries. But here in the U.S., people are committing suicide like it's the thing to do. It's trending. As they say, it's going viral. Why? Could it be that maybe because we're lacking compassion, that when we see somebody that's hurting, we're not willing to step up? That we're not willing to step outside of our comfort zone to minister hope and love? Why are so many people walking off into buildings and schools and different places shooting everybody up? I mean, it sounds like, I mean, it could be different reasons, but at the core of any reason, whatever the reason is, committing suicide, whatever, for whatever reason you think you're doing it, whether you homicide or suicide, for whatever the reasons are, the root cause is hopelessness. Hopelessness. And guess what the root solution is? Jesus. And what does Jesus look like to people that don't know Jesus? It looks like compassion. I'm going to repeat that. Whatever the root of this suicidal, homicidal spirit is, hopelessness. And the fix for hopelessness is Jesus. And Jesus looks like compassion. So when we show compassion to other people, because people ain't going to see Jesus per se, but the closest time, sometimes the closest thing they're going to see to Jesus is you. The closest thing they're going to see to Jesus is me. And it's shown through our compassion. Are we willing to step in? Are we willing to bring hope? Are we willing to bring hope? Are we willing to talk somebody off the bridge? See, to sit up and talk somebody off the bridge, that means you have compassion. Because you could keep driving. And that's what we're in a society right now. It ain't my business. It ain't got nothing to do with me. I'm going to mind my own business. And we're just sitting up here minding our own business while we see things around us falling apart. The world going to hell in a handbasket. And we just minding our own business. Because we don't want to. Because we ain't got time to be showing people compassion, because guess what? It might cost us too much. The Holy Spirit might just tell you to take the person home. You might just have to take them home and bathe them and feed them. You might just have to give them your last $5. You might get your hands a little dirty. You might get your hands a little dirty. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your word on compassion on tonight. Lord, if any one of us is lacking compassion, Father God, we ask now that you would give us a spirit of compassion to be able to love on your people, Father. For so many are hurting, so many are in despair, so many feel like they can't go on. And Father God, we just pray that you will help us to be more discerning, be more obedient when you're speaking to us, Father God. And Father God, that when you tell us to speak, when you tell us to go, when you tell us, when you identify people for us to minister to, Father, that we will not be so comfortable and content within our own personal space, within our own comfort zone, that we won't be willing to go and minister hope and minister love to those, Father God, that you've placed in our pathway. Father God, I pray for each person on this call, Father, that as they walk in obedience to do all that you've called them to do, Father God, that they will see blessings overtaking them, Father, according to Deuteronomy 28:1-14, that says, if we hearken diligently and obey, that blessings will overtake us. And Father God, we know that we all could use some blessings to overtake us. So, Father, we just say thank you on tonight. I thank you for those listening in, Father, and I thank you for those who wanted to listen in but couldn't. Father God, I pray that you would continue to bless this platform that's dedicated to you, Father, that you would continue to bless MCD Network and all its affiliates, Father. Father God, that we will be about our Father's business, not about self, not about I, you, me, but Father God, about you and your glory, Father God, that everything we say and do will be pleasing to you. In Jesus' name. Well, I want to thank each and every one of you for listening in to tonight's episode. I do encourage you, if you get a chance, listen to October the 3rd show. A lot of it, like I said, will sound familiar, but I believe that you will enjoy it. I'm going to try to send out some links that you could click on and listen to October the 3rd show when you get a chance. I want to thank each and every one of you for tuning in. We will be picking up next Tuesday. We had some adjustments. We had a couple of shows that are no longer on the network. We still have First Tuesday, Walking in Wellness with Vanessa Scott. And then we have on, we're going to be replacing Second Tuesday. We're going to be having something on Second Tuesday. On Third Tuesday, we have He Say, She Say. You don't want to miss that next week. Again, that's He Say, She Say on Tuesday. The shows on Tuesday are at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time, which is 6 p.m. Pacific Time and 9 p.m. Eastern Time. And again, Processing the Pain on Thursdays at 7 p.m. Pacific Time and 9 p.m. Central Time. Thank you again for tuning in. Know that you are loved and appreciated. Have a good evening.